You are now inside Japan. Are you currently working in Japan or want to be in the future? This is the show for you. Interviews with employers, foreigners doing interesting things, job hunting and hopping strategies, and a lot more. And now, your host, James.
James here, coming at you with episode number 6 of the Inside Japan podcast, powered by jobsinjapan.com. Thanks for coming in again, guys. Another week here, another month here on the show, this new show, Inside Japan podcast. It is nice to be back. We are in the thick of rainy season. It is pouring down rain as I record this, but yeah, rainy season is always one of those fun things you get to enjoy if you live in Japan, if you work in Japan. So there you go. Before we get to today's interview with Victor of Frame of Travel, Victor is a touring consultant and he's an SNS marketing manager. So before we get to that exciting interview, I want to let you know on altinsider.com, I just put up a bit of a guide or a kind of a challenge guide concerning what to do if you miss a package in Japan. So if you're in Japan already, you know what to do. They give you a little slip that says, hey, you miss your package. When you call this number or use this QR code to tell us when to come back and give it to you and you'll be there. So I kind of made a little guide to how to call and get that package back to you. Sure, there's an English number on the slip, so you could just call that number. But, you know, I always advocate, you know, putting yourself in challenging situations, uncomfortable situations as much as possible, because the more you do that, the more you'll be able to do things easily, right? If you do that enough times, eventually you'll be able to do anything with ease, right? So it's a good opportunity to practice your Japanese, especially because it's with a computer. So you're not going to embarrass yourself with a computer, I don't think. So yeah, check that out on altinsider.com. It's a complete walkthrough of how to make that call to get your item or whatever you got sent to you from Amazon or wherever sent back to you. And yeah, just a good chance for Japanese practice, if nothing else. So go check that out on altinsider.com if you are newer to Japan and you miss a package sometimes. As for this week's show, though, Victor in the house, as I said, touring consultant, SNS marketing manager. He does a lot of stuff, and he's someone, again, that I like to show, you know, from time to time, someone that didn't, he started his working career in Japan as a non-teaching job. It's kind of a rarer thing, right? A lot of people think teaching is the only way to start your career in Japan, but that's not true sometimes. Victor's path is not the easiest one to emulate, for sure, as you'll hear. But there's still some kind of strategies and things to take away, for sure, about his path to Japan and how he got to where he is now. So there you go. Without further ado, let's get to it. Victor from frameoftravel.com. Enjoy. All right, cool. Hey, guys, very special guest today. His name is Victor. He's doing some cool things in Japan. He's had a whole long path in Japan through as well. So how are you doing today, Victor?
Doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Very good. Nice to talk to you tonight. I'd like to start with the ending point, though. So what are you doing in Japan right now currently for professionally?
Okay, so professionally, I'm working as an inbound tourism consultant and SNS marketing manager.
Oh, cool. So we were going to get to that point for sure. But let's go back to your humble beginnings, right? So what got you interested in working in Japan in the very first place?
Well, originally I worked for the broadcast industry in California, and they needed somebody to come on out here to Japan. And luckily, I was the first one taking Japanese 101 in college, so they sent me out here.
So it wasn't some deep, long love of Japan. You kind of just – the opportunity struck.
Yes, the opportunity struck. I came out here and telecommuted for a year and fell in love with Japan and ended up quitting my job and staying out here.
Quitting a job in Japan obviously comes with a lot of things to do. Visa is a problem and stuff like that. So how did you handle, you know, transferring there?
So transferring originally from an American, basically like a tourism visa, I was actually got hooked up with a journalism visa.
Oh, okay. So that's a rare visa to get, and it takes a lot of, if it's like any other visa, there's a lot of requirements you have to fit, right?
I had to pull a lot of connections for that.
So how did you go about doing that? I mean, because that's something people I'm sure are interested in doing, but it's not that easy, right? So how did you do that?
To be honest, it was just a lot of friends in the industry, and then I got lucky with a startup company that had a lot of overhead, and they had a lot of influence within certain crowds. So to be honest, I got a little bit lucky, to be honest.
Cool. Okay. So then what was that job like? First, explain, what exactly were you doing in with your job there?
Okay. So as a startup company, they were working in the tourism industry, and it was one of the many websites that popped up in 2014, 2015. And I got lucky, and they hired me on originally as a writer. And surprisingly, I found the job through Craigslist. And then from there, I was the first English-speaking person on the staff, and I slowly kind of moved up the rank from there.
So how kind of, your Craigslist, is this Craigslist Japan?
Correct.
Oh, cool. So how was your Japanese level at this point? How was you doing there?
To be honest, a little non-existent. I could use the basics, you know, ordering at a restaurant, some simple day-to-day conversations. But to be honest, anything business-wise was way over my league.
How did you, people now are, you know, looking at Craigslist saying, oh, okay, find a job like Victor did here. But how did you kind of woo them? What was kind of their hook to hire you think?
The majority of the reason was that the company was trying to base out and trying to internationalize their staff. And many of their staff could speak English as well. So from that point, I got integrated with the company, and that's where I basically learned the basics of working within a Japanese company.
Speeding through your career here, what was the next step for that for you?
So luckily from that position, I actually got, our company actually got bought out by another major company. And then I basically got to join the big leagues, and I was working for a huge kind of corporation throughout Japan that had over 1,500 employees.
Wow. So, and still, are you still, how's your Japanese at this point? Are people worried about that? Was it, are you still low level or how was it?
I was still very low level. I think the only reason that I was able actually to stay within the company is because we got bought out, and they basically just wanted to keep us on because we were the only international staff at the time.
Okay. So then how was that experience?
That experience was very eye-opening. I think it's a rare opportunity to be able to be involved with such a huge company. So it was definitely a lot to take in and a lot to learn. And I definitely had to step up my game with Japanese because it was no longer at a point where my coworkers could understand English. It was all Japanese.
Were you, you know, the stereotypes? Were you working long hours? Did you have a lot of overtime that was unpaid? How was that situation?
To be honest, actually, it wasn't that bad. This company that I worked for, it did require a little bit of overtime when it was necessary, but it wasn't anything where efficiency was an issue. It was more kind of just like in order to meet some quick deadlines and certain things came up. So, yes, we did have to work some overtime, but it was all paid for and there was no kind of like black company issues or stuff like that.
Okay, so no one, you didn't almost drop dead or anything from overtime, right?
No, it was perfectly fine.
Okay, so then at this point, I guess you're still writing at this big new company?
Correct. So I was still writing within this company, and then I've stayed with them for about a yearish or so, and then I moved on in order to do some more freelance work and in order to get more into like the media side of stuff.
Okay, so freelance is obviously something that's not easy to start doing in Japan. So how did you kind of go about finding freelance employment? How did you find your clients, stuff like that?
Okay. To be brutally honest, I started going to networking events. And I think that is the main key if you want to actually start networking with people. There's a variety of events. Just look up online or through Meetup itself. And that's where I met other writers, other photographers. And then through them, I got to meet other people. And then eventually you kind of work your way up the food chain and you find out, oh, this person I met 5 minutes ago is the CEO of X, Y, and Z.
So what's your, kind of your, when you go to these meetups, yeah, meetups is a very common thing to, you know, try to progress your career and stuff, but do you, there's kind of an art to it, right? Or do you not think of it as an art? I know some people have, what do you do at these meetups? What's kind of your game plan?
Okay. So personally for me, just treat people as a normal human being. There are people that I notice that come to these meetups with the sole purpose, an obvious purpose of I'm only using you to get connected with XYZ person. And these are the people that tend to usually fail at these meetups because it's more kind of like a reputation thing. So you have to kind of be careful with how you present yourself with these. You have to give something of value, but at the same time, not try to oversell yourself or basically be a little bit too selfish.
Yeah. So when you obviously don't know who you're talking to at these meetups, right? You kind of just, you schmooze around normally, or do you kind of know, okay, this guy works here. I want to go to talk to him for sure. How does that work?
Well, luckily for me, I was invited with a friend. I was invited from a friend. And from there, they introduced me to a few people. And then my friend stopped going to these events, but I continued. And then through mutual kind of acquaintances, got to know them, then introduced to other people. And that's what basically started kind of like my freelancing because they found out, yeah, I'm a writer, as opposed to rather, hey, I'm a writer. What can I do for you? It was more like, oh, yeah, I do this on the side. oh, you have this new project? Okay, that sounds really cool. If there's any way that I could assist you or help you, please let me know at any time.
Okay, so that's the kind of the pitch, right? So you kind of say at the end, okay, so it's not like you say, right, you start out right away, I'm a writer, how's it going, right? You
correct.
Kind of just work up to that point. Okay, so it's kind correct. Of a, some people though, I know, go think about it as like a, you know, you're kind of like a lion trying to find the prey, right? You just more naturally do it, right?
Correct. You have to build up at least a little bit of a rapport.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then, so at these meetups, right, for people that are interested, is it Japanese, is it used there, or is it still an English thing?
It's a mix, to be honest. There's a lot of Japanese companies who actually send their employees actually to poach and scout for potential, you know, international employees for companies.
That's interesting. How often did you do this, or how many did it kind of take until you think you kind of, you know, got your first job from that?
To be brutally honest, it took about a year or so.
Oh, okay. And how often did you go?
I went to basically every other event, and each event was held around every month or so.
So it does take, it's a time.
It's an investment.
Yeah, time investment. Okay. So then you're still, to recap, you're still working at this big company as a writer, but you're also going to meetups every other month or so.
Correct.
Cool. Okay.
It's just in order to maintain contacts, maintain, you know, kind of like to show your face that, hey, I'm still around, guys, if you need anything.
Are you pass out the cards and stuff like that as well?
Occasionally, but for the most part, I think passing out cards, everybody has cards, and by the time people come home, they have a stack of 6 or 11 cards, and unless you have something that really stands out, it's just going to go in the pile with the rest of the other things. I think establishing the rapport, establishing kind of like something that you have in common with people, and actually kind of making friends, or at least trying to make friends first at each other on your social networks, and keeping in contact will lead to further success, as opposed to, hey, here's my card, I'm a writer, a photographer, please contact me.
Okay, that makes sense. And so, since you do trade your, you know, social media stuff, Twitter and stuff like that, are you careful to use your Twitter kind of in a business manner all the time, or do you put cat pictures up there and stuff as well, or do you kind of keep it all business?
I try to keep it all business with a little bit of personal flair, because it is kind of like my hobby. But yes, I do have two separate Twitter accounts.
Okay, so one kind of for the fun stuff, one for the cats, and one
correct.
For the real stuff. Okay,
correct.
That makes sense. Okay.
It's something you really have to be careful with, because Japanese companies are very prone to basically scouting out all your social media, and if they see something that's, you know, they don't agree with, then that could potentially really hurt your chances.
Okay. So now you're doing some freelance work and stuff like that. You still work at the big company. What happens next?
So from there, basically, I started working a lot with tourism within Japan, started going to a lot of shows and talks and speeches from local governments and stuff like that. And I'm really passionate about tourism in Japan and trying to get people to come to Japan and promote more of the local areas. I'm not really too keen on Tokyo as a whole, so I'd prefer people to go out, you know, to the countryside, Kanazawa and places like that, because I think, you know, there are a lot better opportunities for tourism in these areas. So within that, basically, I started working as a freelance consultant. I wouldn't say I'm like a professional or anything like that by any means, but I do help upstarting companies, basically startups in Japan that are trying to, you know, burst into this business of writing articles and trying to promote their local governments.
Can you give us an example of a project, right? So what do they say? Like, we need you to write about this city and what you could do with the city, or is it more open-ended? Hey, can you write something about whatever you feel like?
It's a little open-ended. What I basically do is I try to scan a lot of social media for any up-and-coming basically like platforms. There's a few companies that I actually talked to within the last 3 months when they started out their Twitter, and their Twitter was just basically nothing but posts in Japanese. But they wanted a foreign, you know, English speaking audience. I'd look at their website, and their website was lacking in a lot of areas. So instead of saying, hey, your website sucks, you guys are doing this completely wrong, you know, I sent them a very polite email saying, hey, I have some tips. If you would be willing, I would like to help you guys out. Then it's a matter of exchanging services, building that rapport, and then kind of building up to the next step of like, hey, I'm a writer. I could definitely write some material for you and take some pictures. How can we work together? Because I want to make this work. And then from there, that's how you basically grow these, you know, relationships.
Oh, okay. So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to give everyone the blueprint just to steal your job here. But it sounds like anyone could kind of emulate your what you did here, right?
Well, I mean, if they could provide a means for tourism in Japan and the local areas to succeed, by all means, I would welcome that.
Okay, so let's break it down to the brass tacks then. So you find a website that says, okay, this is all in Japanese. The tweets are all in Japanese. I bet they would like to have an English side of the website as well. And then you send an email to them.
Correct.
Okay, so it's kind of you are doing the phishing. You were doing the phishing to find the clients for sure.
Correct.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Just like translate. I do freelance translation. Same thing. You got to always be looking for your next company and keep looking for the jobs and stuff. And that's cool. So what kind of as for the email, is it email in Japanese then, or how does that work?
I usually do email in Japanese and in English in order to kind of prove to them, hey, I could do both this and if necessary, and this is how we could communicate if you have somebody on staff that is knowledgeable.
Has that, because even it's for me, someone that has, I have N2 Japanese, so, not great, but it's something. Writing a business email in Japanese is very difficult, and it's very easy to see, okay, he's not a natural native Japanese person.
Correct.
Did you have someone check that email and stuff like that? Because I think that's something that I might do to make sure it's like I look the best I can, you know what I mean?
To be honest, yes, I used to have somebody check it at all times, but I figure as a foreigner, they would have to be able to accept a little bit. So I'm kind of like throwing myself under the bus here by not professionally proofing it. But it's a chance that I'm willing to take to see if they're willing to discuss any kind of business with me in English. Because if that's their fan base, if they don't understand English at all, then it feels like it's too much of a lost cause and I would put in too much effort as opposed to what I would be getting back.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. I get it. And how about, can you give us a kind of rough estimate of your hit rate on that? Let's say you send 10 out, you find 10 kind of good candidates. What's your hope return for that? And yes, in the yes column.
Okay. In regards to that, I would say it's about usually one in every 30 sites or so. To be honest, it's a very low hit rate. Mm-hmm. But within the rest of the 30, I still keep in contact because in this kind of field, you want to keep communications with them, because what if this small little company does grow? They might not need you now, but in the future when they try to expand, it could be a perfect opportunity.
Cool. Okay, so let's get back on the career trail here. So now, if we're correct, you've kind of morphed into more, now you're just 100% freelance, or what are you doing now in terms of employment?
I'm what the Japanese call a nandemoya, which is basically a jack of all trades. So basically I am working for a specific company right now, and I'm handling most of their like SNS work between several companies, a little bit helping out with the English side of the marketing. But on the side, I'm still doing freelance work and assisting, friends' companies wherever necessary. But my main focus right now is trying to see if I could build up any of my photography.
The one important thing of freelance, as I know, I'm lucky because I got married, but if you're not married, getting a visa is kind of difficult in the freelance world, right? So what do you do in that side of things now?
Well, I got married about 3 years ago, and after getting yearly visas for, 4 years, we decided to get, I was sick of it. And to be honest, being married, I just took the spousal visa because it was just not worth going through the hassle of pain and getting documentation over and over again for every year. So I just bit the bullet.
Yeah, they don't make it easy. For sure.
No. Yeah. No, they don't.
So let's talk about then, what you kind of offer these companies. So in terms of your social media, what's kind of your strategy? Do you kind of just the normal, let's link some cool posts and link some cool pictures? Do you have a special strategy or something you use for these companies?
To be honest, no, because it depends on the purpose of the company. There are some inbound tourism companies that I do work for, but other businesses are either restaurants, bars, services, and business to business. So it really differs depending on what they're looking for as clientele.
And how do you think you gain these skills, right? I mean, because obviously social media is a big, you can go to school for it, but it's really not something you can really learn in the classroom, right? So how do you think you got these skills, and what do you think is important to know about social media?
The most important thing to know about social media is that it's changing on a daily basis, and it's something that you have to basically keep updating yourself every morning when you read the news and find out what the latest trends are, what's happening with Facebook now. Sure, they got in trouble with, Cambridge Analytica, but how is that affecting their stock? I mean, you notice within this last week, every single social media platform, including Google itself, has sent out, new updates to their terms and conditions for privacy. Mm-hmm. And you have to actually either skim or go over them and see what's going to change. For example, APIs with Facebook, old, you know, marketing methods have changed entirely, and you have to be careful with that and update your any ads that you might have, or you might be losing some money. Mm-hmm. So it's something that you have to definitely keep up with. And as for how to actually get into it, to be honest, it's just dedication. You have to do a lot of like A and B testing, and you have to read up on blogs. And to be honest, the best thing would be is just knowing somebody that's already in the industry and using them kind of as like a mentor in order to kind of learn from them and then going from there.
If someone's out there, you know, someone's about to come to Japan or whatever, and they're working as a ALT, they kind of want to get into this field. What do you think that, what's your recommendation for them? Is it just going to these meetups like you did, or is it just kind of sending his emails out? What do you think they should do to kind of get in this field like you have?
Create something of their own and use it as a test bed before applying it in a business setting.
Okay.
In a nutshell, if you want to get into SNS, try it yourself. Try to see if you could create some kind of like following online, whether it's a YouTube channel, Twitter, Instagram, or, you know, Facebook page, whatever it is, and just use it as a test bed in order to try to figure out what works, what doesn't work, and then use that experience and then try to apply it into kind of like a business environment. If you're lucky and if you get hired at a startup company, also doesn't really know too much, and it's a perfect opportunity for you to grow as a company and learn that specific field.
I guess some questions some people might have is, you don't have to get specific, of course, but how much can you expect to be reimbursed about for, let's say, I know it's every situation is different, as Jet says. I'm sure it's for you too the same.
Yes.
Can you give us any kind of insight on that kind of side of things? It's something that's, is it lucrative? Is it you're getting by? How does that work?
To be honest, it honestly depends on one, what the Japanese call your jiseki, your results, your return on investment for the amount that they're going to pay for you. They will always want kind of like proof. What have you done in the past? What have been your success stories? If you have no experience, then obviously you're not going to get paid much. If you do have some experience and if you do have a background and you have some references, that really does help significantly. For an article, I know a lot of popular websites now are only paying for like 1,000 yen per, you know, 500 word article, but that's really minuscule. You could shoot that up all the way up to like easily like 1,000, you know, 10,000 yen, depending on your skill, depending on your writing. You have to be really critical of your grammar. You have to think about what kind of writing style you're going to put for one site. Let's say if you're doing an article for a travel website that's for, you know, like anime fans, your writing style for that would be different as opposed to if you're writing for something for National Geographic. Mm-hmm. So you have to keep these kind of things in mind, and depending on what market that you're actually writing for, the amount that you get back will differ significantly.
Mm-hmm. How do they kind of view your progress or success, right? Is it all about, okay, well, you gained us this many followers, so that's cool. You got this many retweets. How do they kind of rate your work?
They rate your work basically on what is online. Some companies will basically do a full like SNS sweep of your name and anything that's associated with you, try to figure out, you know, where are your articles published, who have you worked for, and what times did you work. And if they don't see any like major changes, for example, if I worked for Coca-Cola for 6 months back in 2016, well, they'll reference that and look at those 6 months and see, was there any significant change, difference in engagement, this and that. And that's where they'll base your skill off of.
So I guess like for, in terms of the future, is it just, you know, you have this main company you work for, if I'm, you know, understanding correctly.
Correct.
And then you kind of still do the freelance thing on the side, right?
Correct.
So what kind of, in the future, what do you hope to do? Is you hope to push your own, I should have mentioned already, you have the Instagram frame of travel, you have some website frame of travel. Is that kind of what you're trying to focus on to make that thing that you can, you know, get income from?
To be honest, the frame of travel thing is my personal test bed.
Oh, okay.
It's what I've used to try to learn and apply any kind of skills and techniques that I've learned within the social media industry. And sure, I would love to try to make that a full-time thing. However, realistically, I just do not have the time because I'm doing so much work on the side that even my evenings are dedicated to either freelance work as opposed to like my 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
And
like, if you're like, I'm freelance too, and I work from home, but it's like when you are freelance, sometimes it's easy to get caught into the, if I have free time, I should be working because I can, you know, be making money, right? So
correct.
Is that something you trap you fall into?
I think the worst trap is that I'm doing this as a full-time job already from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, including sometimes Saturday, that by the time I get home, it's just like, okay, well, the last thing I want to look at is Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. So I'm going to go play some Monster Hunter or something like that. But you have to be careful, because if you fall in that trap, you're not going to be able to show improvement within your own brand.
It's important to, okay, I see what you're saying now. So you have to show growth with Frame of Travel to these, hey, look how much I've grown in my own website. I can do that for your company, right?
Correct.
So yeah, so what kind of stuff can we expect to find if we go to frameoftravel.com?
Oh gosh, well, the website has not been updated in a couple of years. So I'm obviously need to follow my own advice there. However, the majority of my photography and stuff that I'm working on right now is basically through Instagram itself. If you do go to the website, I've created a couple articles that are just basically base articles on one's on photography and editing, and another one is based kind of like on travel. And these are kind of what I send out as kind of like samples of, hey, I'm capable of doing X, Y, and Z. Here's a sample.
What about people, because you were in Tokyo, you go to these meetups, right? I mean, the big cities are where the meetups are. Mm. But however, you know, a lot of people are in the countryside due to, you know, being on jet or whatever. Mm. What can they do to kind of find other employment, do you think?
So that's a very good question.
Hey, give up. That's what he's saying. No.
I think the opportunity is there. I think it's something that you could definitely start out with. I mean, if you do have the time, the majority of these kind of websites that are paying for, you know, 1,500 yen per article, use that as kind of like your starting bed. Write articles from there. Learn more about writing. Learn more about, you know, writing about SEO. And try to be picky on where your articles will be on, and try to go for a little bit more branded names. For websites, people that actually have potential to get big, and then use that to build kind of like your repertoire, your portfolio for writing. And then from there, that's when you start pitching and, you know, applying for other ideas. And next thing you know, you might have an interview in Tokyo.
Okay. So, because I get for me, it's easy to understand that, you know, you found a Japanese website that's all in Japanese. Hey, I can do this. Cool. What do you do when you try to work for these websites? Do you send them email and say, hey, here's my stuff, can I write for you? Or is it more to it than that?
Like I mentioned earlier, what I do is I send like an introductory email and say, hey, here's some ideas. I would love to help you and build the rapport, try to find a contact. I think instead of going blindly and doing to whom it may concern, try to find somebody who's actually in charge, or try to find a direct email, because you definitely get a little bit more replies with that.
How often are you still trying to find places to write for? Is it something you like make sure to do X amount of hours a week or something? Because I know that's how it works for translation, but how does it work for you?
It's give and take. For example, I had no life from February until March because I took on too many projects. So right now I'm on vacation mode.
Okay, that's why you have time for this interview.
Correct.
I know for me it's tough balance though. You always got to be finding the next thing, and you always got to be working on the thing you have to do now, right? Mm-hmm. So what kind of advice do you have people do on that kind of side of things? I mean, obviously now you're in a spot where it's, it's easier for you because you already have this base built up. Once you get to that point, it's easy, right? But was it hard going in the beginning for you?
Oh, yes, it was definitely hard. I think when I first started getting freelance gigs, I got one every 3 months or so, and it would just be for one article. So I'd be taking home like just Ichiman every other month or so. But through those, I got connections with other companies, and that's how I slowly kind of started building up, a clientele.
Mm-hmm. And let's give a time frame. How long has it been since then till you got to the point where you're more comfortable with it?
It's been about 8 months or so.
Okay, so that's not too long in the scheme of things.
It's not too long, but you have to keep those relationships. You have to keep in contact. But you can't do it in a, hey, do you remember me? I'm a writer. Please hit me up. It has to be something more kind of like on a personal level, and I think that builds a lot more success, which might be difficult for alts living in the countryside, but if they do have a chance, hey, I'm in town, would you like to get a coffee? Let's hang out sometime.
The power of the coffee meeting, yeah.
Yes, it definitely helps.
Yeah, so that's a tough thing, because, I mean, sometimes it's hard. It seems like it'd be hard to make that not seem like a chance to schmooze, right? So, like, let's say you're talking with the owner of, traveltojapan.com and you say, hey, let's get a coffee, right? So how do you kind of, how do you make that sound like it's not, hey, I want to work for you? You know what I mean? What do you do there?
Just discuss what they're doing, any plans with the website. And then if you have any ideas that are actually beneficial, you have to actually do your research. You can't just open up with, oh, hey, by the way, I see you need more articles. It has to be something that is beneficial for the company because, again, you are trying to pitch yourself to them, but you have to have something of value, something that they do not have.
So would you do that in an email to this travel, you know, go to japan.com? Would you say like, hey, I have some ideas. I have some article ideas, but I mean, everyone has article ideas, right? Mm-hmm. It's not, how do you make it special? You know what I mean?
If I make it special, it's usually face to face. Face to face is something that's very memorable. So if you do get a chance, I do recommend that.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. So I guess, you know, it seems like I learned a lot here. It's been a lightning fast interview, but I guess like, ultimate kind of advice? What do you think is something you wish you knew before you got to Japan that would have made your time easier? What made you get to this point faster?
Oh gosh. Well, one for all would be to have taken my Japanese classes a little bit more seriously.
Yeah.
And two would be to basically do not sell yourself short. If you feel something is less than the time that, if you're getting paid less than the time that you're actually getting, the time that you're putting into it, definitely be careful, because a lot of people that start within, you know, this freelance industry do not know what to charge, and some of them might be a little bit too meek and humble and charge significantly lower than the going rate. And this harms them because, one, they're not getting paid for the time and the effort that they're putting in, and two, it's lowering the median for people who have been in the freelance game for a long time. So it's something to be very careful about. And if you have any questions, I mean, go on forums or talk with people that are in the industry and try to figure out. It basically is like a community thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you'd say, yeah. So, but it's kind of a tough balance to do, right? Because if I'm living in, let's say, Shimane, and I can't have to go to these meetups, I do have to kind of accept almost anything, right?
Correct. But at the same time, this is where you have an edge, because not everybody wants to travel to Shimane. So if you got a decent camera and good writing skills, you could be the person on the spot.
There you go. Good advice there.
Yeah.
So yeah, but it's definitely sending everyone to frameoftravel.com. Instagram is where you want to be there. The main place that Victor does his stuff there. So any kind of final words, anything you want to share with the listeners here at the Insider Podcast?
Oh, well, definitely good luck. If you want to expand, definitely just keep trying. It's not something that you're going to get immediate results at, but if you keep, you know, working at it, you will definitely get something back in the long run.
Cool. Yeah. It's cool that you kind of, You found this job in Japan, you started with a job, but you didn't just kind of settle there, right? You kept working and making it happen. I think that's the best thing we can learn from you today.
Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of taking every opportunity that's presented to you, even if you don't feel it's an opportunity at the time. Everything's a learning opportunity.
There you go. The best way to end it right there, I think. So, Victor, thanks for coming on today, and good luck in the future.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Inside Japan podcast. To learn more about having more fun while working in Japan, head to altinsider.com. To find your first or next job in Japan, head to jobsinjapan.com and sign up today. And be sure to check back often, as you never know when your next job will go online.